بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كل نفس ذائقة الموت صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله وذ فضل الكرم في الله سبحانه وتعالى we had been discussing موت the reality of موت we spoke about قبر And last week we commenced on Hashar, the resurrection that will take place. But we had concentrated mainly on ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pertaining to a believer and the hopes Allah ta'ala gives us. The hopes Allah ta'ala gives the believer for the akhirat so that he longs and he yearns to enter Jannat and to be in the hereafter and to enjoy the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter more than the bounties of this dunya. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down azab also, but we explain very clearly that Allah does not like to punish. Allah loves to forgive, and on the arsh of Allah it is written very clearly, Inna rahmati sabaqat ala ghadabi. Verily my mercy supersedes my anger. So Allah does not like to punish. Allah gives the person a chance, many opportunities to make amends, to seek forgiveness. Allah has created so many occasions in the life of a person where he can make tawbah, istighfar. And on every single day Allah Ta'ala forgives. The doors of tawbah open right till the person is passing away, or right till the day when the sun will rise from the west. So Allah creates so many opportunities to forgive us. Allah is Ghafoor, Allah is Wadood, Allah is Ra'oof, Allah is Rahman, Allah is Ar-Rahim. So the Thani Rahmatullah has written, Shauqi Watan, that our real Watan is Jannat, that's our abode, that is where we came from, and that is where we're returning to. So many times in this world a person becomes mayus, he loses hope, he becomes too fearful. Of course, Iman is bain al-khawf al-raja. We explained many times, the person has to have some khawf of Allah Ta'ala. If there's no khawf of Allah Ta'ala, then he'll do as he wishes. And he'll just sit back and relax and say, Allah is ghafur rahim, so I don't have to work. No, this is not the quality of a believer. A believer is fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, he has great hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Thani Rahmatullah has written these, compiled these, this kitab with ahadith, giving us that shauq, yearning and desire to proceed towards the akhirat. And this journey in this dunya becomes easy. Otherwise a person becomes so remorseful at times. And when he is troubled with many types of trials and tribulations, sometimes it's some sickness and some disease or some other problem, financial problem, social problem, person loses hope, or he's caught up in such sins and he feels that now there's no forgiveness for him. As the Thani Rahmatullah mentioned so many ahadiths to remove that type of remorseful feeling that we have and to give us great hopes. And he shows us how Allah honors the believer in this world, especially when he's leaving this world. And we mentioned how those angels come with such ikram, such ihtiram, with respect, dignity, they take away the ruh very easily of the believer, and we explain all that in detail, and how the person is honored even in the skies, and even in the qabr also, how the qabr expands, and the breeze of Jannat comes, and those questions that the person will be asked, and how easy it will be for him. Then on the day of Qiyamah, when this mu'min will be raised, then to Allah has got such honor for him. Last week we mentioned one hadith, which is a very famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We just mentioned the hadith again. And here again, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah brought this hadith first to show us that even on the day of Qiyamah, when things and the events of Qiyamah are so horrifying, so frightening. If you read, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ, mainly the surahs of Tatiyat Para, you see how frightening the episodes of Qiyamah is. And how the sun will be hovering above the person's head, as mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So person becomes so afraid. But he says on that day, There'll be people who'll be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in numerous ahadith. Many ahadith have got various people mentioned that this person will be under the saya of Allah ta'ala, under the dhil, under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on that day there'll be no other shade but the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like for example, in one hadith it is mentioned, أَيْنَ الْمُتَحَابُّونَ فِي جَلَالِهِ. We are those people, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will say, we are those people who in the world, they loved one another just for my sake. مُتَحَابُّونَ, they had muhabbat for my sake. The muhabbat was not for any other dunya motive or purpose, not because they were partners in a business, or because he needed some money from that person, or perhaps if he's in that person's good books, then maybe he'll give me his daughter to get married to, whatever it is. No dunya purpose. The maqsad, that love they had, was solely for the pleasure of Allah. Al-yawma udhilluhum fi dhilli yawma la dhilla illa dhilli. Allah says, in the hadith of Qudsi, today I will give them shade under my shade. When there is no other shade but my shade. The shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't be small and narrow. It will be vast. And on the day of Qiyamah, a person will be dying to be under that shade. So, أَيْنَ الْمُتَحَابُونَ بِجَلَالِهِ. We are those people who loved one another. In one hadith, it is mentioned, that Allah says, وَجَبَتْ مَحَبَّتِي. My muhabbat becomes compulsory. Allah says, I make it incumbent upon myself to love those people who love one another for my sake. So they have muhabbat for one another for the sake of Allah, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they spent on one another for my sake. They visited one another for my sake. Such people will get the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. In the hadith we did last week, Rasulullah says, سَبْعَةٌ يُضِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ وَمَا لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّ. Seven people will be given shade under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day when there will be no shade but His shade. Imam Adilun, a just ruler. The ruler, he is not oppressive. He is kind, he is fair. He makes the right decisions. He does not make zulam and oppress the people. He gives them their due rights. He is not harsh and cruel and hard. Among the signs of Qiyamah, that the rulers will become oppressors. They will oppress the people. They will not give them the rights. Allah Ta'ala protect us. But in one riwayat is mentioned that if you want just rulers, then your a'mal must be correct. Depending on the a'mal of the people, Allah Ta'ala puts that type of ruler. So if we have corrupt a'mal, deeds, bad actions ourselves, then we can't expect but to have a corrupt leader also. If our a'mal is good, our akhlaq is good, then Allah Ta'ala puts a good leader. وَشَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. And that youngster, specifically the word شَابٌ is mentioned, a youth, because the challenges the youth faces are very heavy, very difficult, very challenging. Person in his youth, he is exposed to such trials and tribulations and temptations that an elderly person will not be attracted to those type of temptations. It's a normal practice in society, or this is what we see prevalent, that youngsters get attracted to such things that the old people, they will turn their nigah and gaze away from that. They won't waste their time in those futile pursuits. And therefore, you find it so outrageous if you see an elderly person indulging in those things that normally you'd find a youngster attracted towards because of his youth. In one hadith is mentioned that there are three types of people. ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah would not speak to them on the day of Qiyamah. Allah won't speak to them kindly. وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ. Allah would not look at them with a merciful glance. Allah would not look at those people with a merciful glance. وَلَا يُزَكِّهِمْ. Allah will not forgive such people. Now, many people have been mentioned in the hadith, types of people. In one particular hadith, it mentioned, شَيْخٌ زَانٍ. That old man In his old age, he goes and makes zina. Not to say that a youngster can go commit zina, no. Understand this very correctly and properly. But it can happen because the youngster is still in his youth. He doesn't have the type of intelligence or sense. He is not so well acquainted with Quran, Hadith, and in good company. And he's got the jawani ka josh, as we say. So it can happen that he may fall into that sin. Allah forbid, Allah save us. Zina is something very, very despicable. Abhorred by Shariat. Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا zina. Don't even go near zina. Don't even do those things that will lead a person to that zina. So for a young person, it is very important that he stays away from such avenues. But to understand this, that a young person went and committed the zina, Allah gives him tawfiq of tawbah, etc. An elderly person, there's no question of him making zina. He's now old. One foot is already in the qabr. Now he should be only focused on akhirat. If in his old age, he still gets temptations of a youngster, and he still is unable to control his nafs. He had so much years in his life to now be able to hold the reins and control that nafs. If he's so weak even at that time, this is what is meant. That he goes and commits zina, Allah does not even look at him on the day of Qiyamah with a merciful glance. Allah Ta'ala save us. But the point here is, شَابُ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. That youngster who does not just fall into temptations. All his friends are all going together, partying. And every weekend they're going out. And the attire is different. The culture has changed. The mannerisms have changed. They find it very easy to take drugs and to drink liquor and alcohol. Allah save us, save our youth. Now this one youngster, suddenly he breaks away from such a group. He prefers to remain aloof. He does not want to join them. He does not want to blend and mix with them. Why? Because he knows that they are bad company. So he prefers to stay in the masjid. He prefers to read Quran. He prefers to seek knowledge. He wants to be in good company. He stays with elderly people. He stays with his parents. He makes the khidmat. نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. He is nurturing. He is growing in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah becomes so happy with that youngster. That Allah gives him shade on the day of Qiyamah. He is selected to be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the third person, وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسْجِدِ. That all the time this man's heart is attached to the masjid. I mentioned last week, people ask about where's this certain person, you ask about his whereabouts. Where could I find him? He said, by looking at the masjid, we'll find him. So his heart is attached to the masjid. He's always looking at his watch, looking at the clock. How many minutes left for adhan? Allah forgive us, we come in last, we go out first. Yes, sometimes a person is a doctor. We do not know, he's busy in the hospital operating or seeing to a patient. And now he has to just quickly make his salat and go back. Or somebody got some urgent need, like one sahabi. He should come and go very quickly. Or he should come very late for Jumu'ah. Rasulullah asked him, what's the matter? Why are you coming so late? Then he explained, he only had one garment to wear. And he used to wash that garment, wait for it to dry, and then come to the masjid. This is how poor he was. So he had a valid excuse. He had to wash that garment, make sure it is dry, and then he was able to come to the masjid, and that was the cause of the delay. So we should not be judgmental. Somebody is rushing. We don't know what, he's not feeling well, or he's got a meeting. So many times there's some meeting. There's a mashwara. Person has to go to another program. Or sometimes the wife is alone, she's scared, and she needs the husband to be there. Or he's got some other important khidmat to make of his parents. He's got elderly parents waiting. Until he doesn't come back, they won't go to sleep. He has to see to the medication. He has to see to the giving them milk, whatever it is. We should look at our own lives. Our hearts should be attached to the masjid. So that person whose heart is always attached to the masjid, that the moment he comes out, his fikr is when he can come back again. And you see this especially in Madinah Munawwara, in Masjid Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You see, those people practically they're there 24 hours. Masjid is open all the time. And if they have to come out of the masjid, if they're cleaning it and the masjid is closed, then they are waiting outside. So as soon as the gates open, they're back again and to find their spot where they can get most rewards. Their whole life is spent like that. Of course, we have work, we are going to go to jobs and madrasa and university and colleges. But the heart must yearn to be in the masjid. Then the next people who have mentioned, وَرَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّ فِي اللَّهِ, which explain two people who love one another for the sake of Allah. اِجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ. When they gather, when they join, when they meet one another, it is for Allah's pleasure. When they depart also, it is for Allah's pleasure. So the meeting is solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the وَرَجُلُونَ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَ دَعِنَا. That person who makes the dhikr of Allah in solitude, all alone. Why? The person is making any ibadat alone, especially dhikrullah, nobody else is around. There is more ikhlas. There is more sincerity. They're not making everybody watching. Sometimes, we lose the sincerity. But when a person is all alone, who's there? Nobody watching, nobody knows he's making dhikr. And then he's making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then of course, in solitude, his mind, his dhyan is there. His heart, he has now emptied his heart from all the other things of this world, and he's filling his heart only with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he's in communion with Allah, he's talking to his Allah, he's crying, he's begging from Allah. So for Fadat Aina, he's making the dhikr of Allah, when he takes the name Allah, when he's making La ilaha illallah, those tears are rolling down his cheeks, or her cheeks, rolling down their faces. This is a sign of ikhlas. When a person cries, Shah Bukhari Purpuri Rahmatullah Ali used to say that when a person is making tawbah, istighfar, making dua and he cries, and crocodile tears, genuine tears, then this is a receipt from Allah Ta'ala that his tawbah and istighfar was accepted. Then وَرَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ وَرَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُ إِمْرَأَةٌ ذَاتُ حَسَبٍ وَجَمَالٍ وَذَاتُ مَنْسِبٍ وَجَمَالٍ. That woman who is invited, or that man, sorry, that man, da'atu imra'atun, that man who is enticed by a woman, is invited by a woman who comes from a very high lineage. She's very wealthy, she's very beautiful. She's got a high status in society. Any person will wish to marry her. So she's a very prominent woman, she's very beautiful. She's got a lot of money, she's wealthy. And such a woman now invites this person and entices him. And there's nothing stopping him from falling into her trap. But he says, فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. I fear my Allah. I fear my Allah. The exact thing Yusuf al-Islam said, قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. So this khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects him from making zina. She wasn't a cheap woman. She wasn't a loose woman. She wasn't a prostitute that it could be easy for him to turn away from. Here this woman is very beautiful. Lineage also is good lineage. She's wealthy. So the test is different, is more harder. He says, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be in front of us all the time, especially us men folk. Because sometimes it may not even be a woman that we are seeing, but sometimes it's a telephone conversation and you're being enticed. She speaks very sweetly, or even via her emails. At that time, a person is who is being praised, for example, or she's sweet talking this person, this client or her boss, whatever it is. He has to have his nigah on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or he's busy looking at his computer and he's checking some important work in the internet and suddenly there's some invitation over there. Or an SMS. Allah forgive us, Allah forgive us. People actually do these things. There's so many people who said, well, a certain woman, she SMS's me all the time. She's offering herself, not nikah, to have an extramarital relationship. She's married, she's got children. فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. He says, I fear my Allah. Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say, when the person is tempted, he's busy with his internet, and then suddenly those porn websites are keep on now plaguing his mind, and he wants to check, and he starts checking the thing. So in his case, he must have in front, opened on his laptop or his computer screen, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, Allah is watching you all the time. This will become a deterrent. Oh, you see, be transparent. Let your wife sit right next to you. What are you hiding from her? She's trying to peep in you to your cell phone when you're busy emailing, and you're moving the cell phone away. Urdu we say, dal mein kuch kala hai. Something fishy. You got nothing to hide. ورجل تصدق بصدقة فأخفها حتى لا تعلم شماله ما تنفق يمينه. So many people, honestly, husband and wife, they say, wife say, well, he's got no right to check my phone, and he says, she's got no right to check my phone. That's the rule in our house. We should be transparent. There's nothing we should hide. Husband and wife should have such muhabbat. Yes, unless, for example, there are some personal matters, issues, a person, for example, he's doing some social work, he's an alim, he's a mufti. There are certain questions that nobody else, or certain things that only him and that person knows, nobody else should know. That's a different issue, that's a different matter. We're talking in general. And the last person, وَرَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَا. Person gives charity, gives sadaqah in such a manner that he conceals it. He doesn't make a big hue about it. No i'lan is made. Quietly he gives sadaqah. And the hadith explains in such a concealed manner that what his right hand is giving, his left hand also does not even know. Of course, the hand has no knowledge. But this is to illustrate his ikhlas, his sincerity. Yes, there are occasions when a person has to mention, this is for targheeb, for example, if there's some important cause for deen, and people won't give until a certain leader of the community gives. So in that case, the person will put his name to give targheeb and encouragement to others to follow. So this is how people will come to know. Sometimes suddenly there is a collection for some need, some cause, some disaster somewhere. By anybody got any contributions, it's okay, I will give so much. So we come to know the person. In that case, it's difficult to conceal. But generally, when a person gives sadaqah, he should try and give the ikhlas, not try, he should give the ikhlas, but he should try and give in such a way that nobody even comes to know. There are so many people, and we have discussed also Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala, who was the son of the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After he left this world, or even it was the grandson of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala also. After he left this world, then those people who were receiving those contributions and donations or whatever help and hampers from him and assistance, then they came to know that he was the one who was giving us. Even those recipients did not even know who is to come at night and who is to see to their needs and who is to make sure that their provisions are given to them. Because when he passed away now, suddenly nothing is coming to them. One day, second day, third day, fourth day. Then they realize this was the man who was providing for us. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. But the point here was, Allah had given, to show the comfort and ease for the believer on the day of Qiyamah. That you will be under the saya, under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person does not have become so fearful that now he loses all courage and himmat to do good actions. Then there are many other ahadiths, we'll just mention a few, to give us great hopes in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very famous hadith which we have done previously, but of course because it follows, comes under this topic, Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Rasulullah said, Allah ta'ala, at the time of, on the day of Qiyamah, إن الله يدني المؤمن فيضع عليه كنفه ويستره Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring a mu'min close on the day of Qiyamah, close to him. In other words, under his protection. And Allah ta'ala will conceal him. And Allah ta'ala will ask him a question. Allah will say, أَتَعْرِفُ ذَنْبَ كَذَا? You remember you committed certain sin? أَتَعْرِفُ ذَنْبَ كَذَا? Do you recall you having committed certain sin? فَيَقُولُ نَعْمْ أَيُّ رَبِّي. Allah, قَسَمَ in your name. Yes, I acknowledge, I confess. I remember very well, I committed that certain sin, certain time, certain place, certain day. حَتَّى قَرَّهُ بِذُنُوبِهِ. Until Allah Ta'ala will make him confess all his sins. وَرَآ فِي نَفْسِي أَنَّهُ قَدْ هَلَكَ. After confessing, yes, I did this, I did that, I did that. So many gunas, so many gunas. He'll realize now, قَدْ هَلَكَ, I'm destroyed. Allah will then respond, Allah will say, سَتَرْتُهَا عَلَيْكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا. Oh my banda, in dunya I did not expose you. You committed sins, I was satar, I concealed your sins. I did not humiliate you, I did not embarrass you. I conceal all your gunas. وَأَنَا أَغْفِرُهَا لَكَ الْيَوْمِ. Today too, I am forgiving you completely. فَيُعْطَى كِتَابَ حَسَنَاتِهِ. Then this person will be given only a book of deeds, good deeds. He won't be given his book of bad deeds. Person only gets book of good deeds. So now he's saved. He got his najat in the akhirat. So this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدْنِي الْمُؤْمِنِ. A mu'min. Therefore, the Thani Ramadullah has mentioned this hadith to give us the believers, inshallah, Allah give us strong iman, Allah make us pass away with iman, or khatama would be with iman. And Allah must raise us on the day of Qiyamah with iman. So for this is the blessing of a believer, that on the day of Qiyamah also, he had committed sins in the dunya, but Allah, nobody can question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has got all the right to forgive who he wishes, when he wishes, how he wishes, how much he wishes. It's Allah ta'ala's haqq that he has. Another hadith, Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Rasulullah said, please inform me, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asks Rasulullah a question. Akhbirni, Ya Rasulullah, tell me, man yaqwa ala al-qiyami yawm al-qiyama, who will have the strength to stand for such a long period on the day of Qiyamah? Who will have the strength? Because in the ayat of Quran, in hadith of Rasulullah, 50 alf sanati mimma ta'udun is mentioned. That means 50,000 years will be the day of Qiyamah. The 50,000 years is one day of Qiyamah. How will it be possible for the person to stand for 50,000 years? Such a long duration. Rasulullah explained, يُخَفَّفُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ. This 50,000 years standing before Allah Ta'ala will be made so light, so easy for the believer, حَتَّى يَكُونَ عَلَيْهِكَ الصَّلَاةِ الْمَكْتُوبَةِ. For him it will be just like the duration it takes to perform one fard salat. Asar four fard, Isha four fard. How long will it take? Alright, mashallah, if you have a person reciting for long, okay, 15 minutes. That's all. For a believer, that such a long duration, for him it will be just made like he just made one fard salat. Then the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam discussing about the Hawdah Kawthar, which you normally, in our dua we mentioned, Allah Ta'ala give us the water from the Hawdah Kawthar. Various descriptions have been mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this particular hadith, it is mentioned, my hawd, this reservoir, this fountain of water, will be very wide, more than the distance between Ayla and Adan. Now, in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, different towns have been mentioned to show this very long distance and how wide and how large this fountain will be. And therefore, in one hadith he has mentioned, this Hawd al-Kawthar, from one side to the other, this fountain is so huge, so big, so wide. Masiratu shahrin. The distance of one whole month's journey. Those days they should travel by camel. So very fast camel traveling for one whole month, stopping and carrying on and traveling and resting and traveling again. The 1 month's journey, how far it will travel. So this is to make us understand that this Hawd al-Kawthar is very, very huge. And then Rasulullah SAW said, so in this particular hadith, the distance between Ayla and Adan, they are two cities in Yemen. As I mentioned, he had given other towns also to describe how far it will be and how wide. Then he said, it will be whiter than ice. Whiter than ice. One hadith, ma'uhu abyad min al-laban. It'll be more whiter than milk. Fresh white milk. Oh, ice, extremely white. This Hawd al-Kawthar water will be even more white than this ice and white milk. And sweeter than honey. Ahla min al-asal. The sweetest honey you can have. This Hawd al-Kawthar water is more sweeter than that. One hadith, rihuhu atyabu min al-misk. The fragrance is more fragrant than musk. One riwayat, kizanuhu kanudumi sama. The amount of cups and goblets you will find inside is equivalent to the number of stars you see in the skies. And one hadith says, man yashrab minha fala la yadma'u ba'dahu abada. Whoever drinks just one sip, only one sip from it, he will never, ever, ever again become thirsty. So Rasulullah SAW mentioned this Hawd al-Kawthar, how beautiful it is, and even mentioned the banks of this fountain, this river, Hawd al-Kawthar, studded, will be not stones, will be pearls and emeralds, and even described the bed of this river and this fountain. And one hadith is mentioned the pipes, as we say, coming, will be coming from Jannat and feeding this Hawd al-Kawthar. So in this hadith, Rasulullah says, the people inquired, or Rasulullah said, I will turn away strange people in the manner that a person turns away strange camels from his fountain. When you see a stranger coming, strange animals, they are chased away from that reservoir and that fountain of a person. He wants only those people who he knows, who he's acquainted with, who he recognizes as his. So they will be able to drink. Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, will you recognize us on the day of Qiyamah? Now imagine us coming after Rasulullah. He did not see us. Will you recognize us on the day of Qiyamah? He said, yes. You will have a sign which no other ummah will possess. So this Hawd al-Kawthar only for my ummah, only for my ummatis. And you will have a sign from which I will recognize that you are my ummati. You will come to me in a state that your faces, your hands and feet will glitter due to the effects of wudu. In the hadith, ghurran muhajjalin. Ghurran, bayadun fil jabha. Is that whiteness a person has on his forehead. Muhajjalin, with the hands and feet will be white. Like we see sometimes a horse, a black horse, and suddenly you see a beautiful white patch on the forehead and on his feet. So Rasulullah says, I will see the effects of wudu on your face and your hands and feet. The effects of wudu, this is the blessings and the one of the rewards of wudu. That by making wudu, our faces will glitter and shine on the day of Qiyamah, especially the forehead, the hands and the feet, from which Rasulullah will immediately recognize his ummati and he'll welcome you to his Hawd al-Kawthar. There is another riwayat where Rasulullah will see his ummati and people will be coming and suddenly the angels will drive them away. Suhqan, suhqan, go away from here, go away from here. Rasulullah will say, this is my ummat, my ummati, why are you chasing them away? They will say, you do not know ma ahdathu ba'dak. What innovations, what they innovated, what innovations they brought into deen after you left this world. They changed your sunnat. They brought things that were not part of your sunnat. They made it part of deen. So such people will be chased away. Then it is mentioned in one riwayat, the Rasul himself will tell them, suhqan, suhqan, go away from here. Allah Ta'ala save us from that. And therefore the importance of following the sunnah of Rasulullah s.a.w. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all with the Hawza Kawthar water on the day of Qiyamah. No person will be deprived. What an occasion. Imagine standing with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and getting that water which is so sweet, so white in color, so beautiful from the Mubarak hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all these ahadith, what is it doing? Giving us that yearning, the desire to meet our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to enjoy the bounties of the everlasting hereafter, to return to our original home and Jannat. So it removes that sorrow and grief and pain and misery if we are suffering due to any calamity that may have befallen us in this world or some problem, things are not coming right. But if you look at the bounties that Allah has got, which are going to be perpetual, then the journey towards the Akhirah becomes even more easy and enjoyable as something that you'll be waiting for. Something that you aspire towards. Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Rasulullah said, I know the last person who will enter Jannah and the last to come out of Jahannam. He will be a person who will be brought forward in the day of Qiyamah. It will be said to him, or it will be said, present to him his minor sins. Only all his minor sins, show it to him. And for some time, just lift his major sins. Only his minor sins must be showed to him, minor sins. And all his major sins must not be shown to him. So his minor sins will be presented. All the small, small gunas we say, saghair. It will be said to him, certain day you committed certain thing. He'll reply, yes, on that day you can't lie. There's no bribery and corruption. You can't see any person right. You're standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all alone. There won't even be an interpreter between you and Allah. Allah understands all languages. In the court of the world, you have an interpreter. So by the time he is interpreting whatever you sing to the judge, you still have time to think what you're going to say. Allah save us. On the day of Qiyamah, no interpreter. لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تَرْجُمَانٌ. So he won't be able to deny any of those minor sins. So now he'll be dreading. He says, this is minor sins and this already I'm finished. When the major sins will be exposed and presented to me, what's going to happen? So he will dread the presentation of his major sins. It will then be said to him, O my Banda, for you, in place of every sin, this minor sin, in place of every sin you committed, I am now going to change it and give you a good deed. The moment he hears this, for every minor sin Allah is prepared to give me and transform it into a good deed, immediately, O my Allah, O my Rabb, I have committed many other sins here, major sins, which I do not see. In other words, his desire is that those major sins now can be presented, no problem, if Allah is so kind, so he will change those major sins also into sawab and blessings and rewards. The narrator says that I observe Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiling till his teeth began to show. Rasulullah smiled and look at this banda. Then he saw all his minor sins are transformed to good deeds. Immediately then now he speaks and he shows, Ya Allah, what about those major sins are committed? Because if they're also going to be transformed into good deeds, what is daraja in Jannah to be higher and higher? And here again gives us such hope. This is the mercy of Allah, and today we are blind to that mercy. We make such absurd remarks. Why is Allah punishing us? Why is Allah doing that? Why is Allah doing this? So many innocent people are being... We don't understand the hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the other day some friends were discussing. So I explained the whole surah Kahf, or the part of Khizr alayhi salatu salam and Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam. It's important to keep on mentioning this because almost every single day we get questions like this where outwardly certain type of allegations are made against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are innocent people's lives taken? Why this is happening? Why this? Isn't Allah watching? Isn't Allah seeing? Isn't Allah aware? Brothers, the hikmat of Allah, the wisdom of Allah, the knowledge of Allah and the wisdom of Allah is far beyond our understanding. He's our Allah, He's our creator. He created the entire universe. He created dunya and akhirat. The skies, the mountains, the earth, every single thing He created. And He does not know the wisdom. So in Surah Kahf, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah is showing him, taking him on this journey, where he is understanding that his knowledge is absolutely limited. Yet being a Nabi of Allah, not an ordinary, a very high level Nabi of Allah, Kaleemullah, he spoke to Allah. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is so strong, and this is something very serious mentioned in the hadith. Now whether we can understand it, can't understand it, that is our naqis faham. It's mentioned. It's the word of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whether it appeals to our understanding or not, that's a different. We shouldn't even go into that direction. But Musa alayhi salam, to understand his strength, when Malakul Maut came to take away his life, he smacks Malakul Maut in his eye. Who are you? What are you doing? Malakul Maut goes to Allah. This is what your Nabi did. So, long story short, and Musa alayhi salam understand, this is Malakul Maut. He's come to take away my life. When that argument was taking place, fight between two people, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam saw that this person being oppressed. So he gives the oppressor for what has the whole Musa. Just one blow, one punch. One uppercut, as we say. فَقَضَىٰ عَلَيْهِ The person falls down dead. This was his strength. There's a long incident about a rock that was running with his clothing, and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam hits the rock. The hadith says the rock began to cry. This was the strength of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is been showed by Allah Ta'ala that your knowledge is nothing compared to my knowledge. So go join this one banda of mine, Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam. And three things Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam did that did not appeal to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's knowledge. He couldn't understand. He couldn't comprehend. That these people allowed us to come on board their ship. They didn't charge us anything. And they're being so courteous and polite. We had no other means of going across. And you are denting their ship. How could you be so cruel? We don't want to give the whole detailed story, inshallah, some other time. But that is when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam sees a bird perched on the edge of the ship, and then it puts its beak into the ocean and removes the beak. So Khidr alayhi salam tells Musa, can you see that amount of water which is on the beak of this bird? That tiny drop of water, that is my knowledge, your knowledge, the entire mankind's knowledge put together, equivalent to this one drop of water, and the vast ocean, unending, that is the limitless or the unlimited knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, the hikmat was explained to him that there was a king who would just usurp these boats and ships that look very nice. So we just dented it time being, temporarily, and they would repair it afterwards. Otherwise, the king will take away the ship. And these people will lose all their livelihood or the means of their livelihood. Now we couldn't have understood that as well. And then that young little boy, Musa alayhi salam, watching, and Khidr strangled the young boy to death. Allah, what are you doing? Taking the life of an innocent child. He did not know the wisdom and the command of Allah that came to Khidr alayhi salatu salam. Why? Because that child was going to become a very disobedient child to the parents. So disobedient that that child was going to become the means of taking away the iman of both the parents, would have been doomed in the hereafter. Now Allah Ta'ala is showing him that see, your hikmat, your understanding, your wisdom, your knowledge comes to a certain limit. All of us put together. All the knowledge, the skill, the whatever powers we have been bestowed with, and all the intellect and all the wisdom comes to a certain point, and beyond that we cannot understand. So we should not question Allah Ta'ala's justice. Quran talks about وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامِ لِلْعَبِيدِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ Allah does not even oppress that amount which is equivalent to a dharra, a tiny little atom or particle, one dust particle, so negligible. Even that amount, Allah will never oppress any person. Allah is adal, hadil, full of justice. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows, the Rasulullah shows us how kind Allah ta'ala will be on the day of Qiyamah. He is forgiving so much, so much. He gives us great hopes in Allah. But of course, we don't look at these type of ahadith and sit down quietly and don't make salah, zakat, hajj and say, no, Allah will just forgive me. No, no, no. A person who shows some initiative, he shows some type of dedication, some sincerity, he works hard. He may be not so intelligent. He may be not like the other pupils in the class. But the teacher sees, no, this person is working hard. In fact, sometimes on awards day, the most hard-working prize goes to this child. He may not get the outstanding award, but hard-working he'll definitely get. So Allah sees that we are trying, but we are weak. We're committing those gunas. But oh my believing servant, I have forgiven you. Then Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah said, my shafa'ah, my intercession. On the day of Qiyamah, my shafa'ah is for those from my ummah who have committed major sins. In other words, those people of my ummah who committed major sins, I will intercede on their behalf. Of course, the person must have iman. But they committed major sins. Rasulullah will be concerned that these people of my ummah must not plunge into the fire of Jahannam. And therefore, at Pul Sirat, Rasulullah will stand, and each ummati as is going past, mentioned in the hadith, he will say, Allahumma sallim, Allahumma sallim. Oh Allah, make it be easy for my ummati to cross. Make it be easy for him. So this was his concern. This was his worry. So he says, my shafa'at, my intercession will be for such people. And one hadith is mentioned, my shafa'at, or the most lucky and fortunate person will be that person who has man qala la ilaha illallah khalisan min qalbi. That person who recited the kalima la ilaha illallah with sincerity, genuinely from the bottom of his heart. He believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even though he may have committed sins, again, I'm emphasizing, we shouldn't go and commit those sins. We should refrain from sins. But if a person commits sins, then eventually he still gets the jannat. And if Allah wishes not to send him to Jahannam at all, yes, Allah is right. Allah cannot be questioned. Allah can forgive the person. But because he's got iman. So the criteria is iman. And we should do good amal. And stay away from all evil. If you commit any sin, tawbah istighfar. And have hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when hadith says, and we'll terminate inshallah, that Anas radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whilst he was portraying the condition and the state of the dwellers of Jahannam, inhabitants of Jahannam, he says the person from the inhabitants of Jannah will pass before them. So this person who is in Jahannam will say, oh person, do you not remember me? This person who is in Jahannam had iman, but because of his sins that he had committed, and his sins were more than his good deeds, so he's been sent into Jahannam. But whilst he's just there, this believer will be going past. Allah will make it such that this believer is going past. And this Jahannami will recognize this believer. And he will shout out to him, oh person, do you not remember me? I am the one who gave you water to drink one day. And somebody will say, I am the one who gave you water for wudu. So that person who is now destined for Jannat, he will intercede on their behalf and have them entered into Jannah. This is the plan Allah makes for such people. Allah Ta'ala makes a plan for us. But inshallah we must make dua. Allah doesn't even send us to Jahannam. Not even near Jahannam. A person who has iman, but who has done evil deeds, and according to the riwayats, of course if Allah wishes to forgive, and don't send him to Jahannam, Allah has the right to do so. But otherwise Allah will send the person into Jahannam for what we call as tathir, to become cleansed. Lengthy riwayats have been mentioned how Allah Ta'ala will put them and Allah will remove them and Allah will dip them into a river which is called Nahrul Hayat, and their bodies will be shining again and they'll be put into Jannat. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we must make dua, Allah Ta'ala puts us into Jannat without any punishment, without going into Jahannam. The Shafa'at, one is Shafa'atul Kubra, the main Shafa'at, and that is the intercession of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This will take place several times. The main one is when the people, the entire mankind will go to different Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, that we are standing here, it's the day of Qiyamah, we can't take it any longer. Tell Allah Ta'ala to start the reckoning, start the Hisab Kitab. Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah won't just start the Hisab Kitab by come here, what you have done. No. People will be standing there and running to and fro frantically for a long period. But of course I mentioned for a mu'min it will be just be like a fard salat. Until they will go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he will go into sajda, and he will cry, he will make dua to Allah, he will praise Allah with such praises that nobody other person praise Allah Ta'ala like that before. Then Allah will say, Ya Muhammad, irfa ra'asak, sal, washfa' tu shafa', sal tu'ta. Raise your head, ask whatever you ask, you'll be granted your request, and intercede, your intercession will be accepted, and then he'll make shafa'at. That Qiyamah will begin, and make shafa'at for his ummah. So like that, other people also will be given the chance to intercede on other people's behalf. First, of course, will be Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nobody else will be given the chance before him. And a person will only be given the opportunity to intercede when Allah grants him the intercession. Like one hadith we did, that a hafiz of the Quran, he will be given the opportunity to intercede on 10 people of his family who will be destined for Jahannam. He will be given the chance to intercede on their behalf. Allah will remove them from Jahannam and Allah Ta'ala will put them into Jannah. So like this, these people who will be in Jahannam, and what they'll see, I remember I gave you water to drink. I gave you water for your wudu. Now imagine, water just to quench somebody's thirst and water that you supply to the person just to making wudu, how great this can be. May Allah Ta'ala give all of us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu.